You may be seated. Father, we thank and we bless and we praise you just for one more opportunity, Lord, to enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise, dear Lord. How great is our God, how great is our God. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for how you brought everybody here, dear Lord, safe and sound, not even a nick, dear Lord, hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you kept us, hallelujah, that you shielded us, you protected us, dear Lord, hallelujah. And Lord, your mercy, endure forever. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for just touching hearts today, opening hearts, dear Lord, to receive the word that you've given me today, dear Lord, that we truly might allow it to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Lord, that we might hide that word in our hearts, that we might not only hide it, Lord, but that we might apply it, dear Lord, hallelujah, in order to bring about a change in somebody's life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today we're going to talk about the power of your presence. The power of your presence. Did you know that your very presence could and should change the atmosphere around you? You have the ability to bring hope, to bring peace, refreshing joy, and to the people that you come in contact with on a day-to-day basis. You also have the power to bring sadness, despair, anger, misery, and a gamut of other negative feelings. But today we're not going to go there. Not going there. We want to encourage you to recognize your God-given ability to make a difference in someone's life every day that you're living on this earth. Never underestimate the power of your presence, especially if you claim to be a born-again child of God. In Genesis 1:26, it reads, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion." Now, we know that the verse follows through with dominion over the fish, the fowl, the cattle, and every creeping thing. Yeah. But think about it. Before we can rule over things, we need to rule over ourselves. We need to take charge of our negative, sometimes ugly ways toward our fellow man. We need to first and foremost take charge of our negative feelings and our actions. If we said we are made in God's image, I wonder if God feels that way, the way that we feel toward people, when people that we don't even know. Let's start by resisting the thoughts that we allow Satan to fill our heads with regarding others. We must take charge, take dominion over how we view people. Our presence will never change the atmosphere around us if we don't crucify the dislike that we have for everybody that does not fit into our little thought pattern of what they should be, or how they should walk, or how they should talk, or how they should act. Get rid of your ideas of who you think they are or aren't. We've got to harness this mentality, this mindset that causes us to immediately start judging people, sizing people up with statements like, "I don't like him or her, but I love them in the Lord." That's a bunch of malarkey. It's a substitute for the words, "I can't stand him or her." You've spent no time with them. You don't know their hearts. You just decide that you don't like them because they may have stepped on your toes one day or outshined you. Perhaps they acquired something that you wanted but weren't able to get. Now, we know that it doesn't happen here because this is the place where the love of Christ abides. Tell your friends and your neighbors, stop sizing up people before you get to know them. The very people that you reject or put your mouth on may have to come to your rescue, helping you out of a mess one day. If we are truly made in God's image, in his likeness, his love, we will start having a desire to help people, to love people, to be kind. We will offer assistance when it's needed. We will compliment others. We will smile. We'll give a hug. We'll call them when the Lord drops them in our spirit. God is love. If we are made in his image, it's high time that we start to sincerely showing it. Take a little time out of your day to encourage somebody. Look for people that may need a smile. A little kindness goes a long way. To be truly used of God to change the atmosphere, your heart and your mind must have a desire to see a change on your job, in your family, in your neighborhood, in the lives of the people that you see day after day. Your heart must be filled with compassion, must be filled with love and a desire to be a vessel of peace for people. As we said before, you must resist the negative thoughts, the judging, the hating on people for no reason at all. We can change the atmosphere when our hearts contain God's love. That's when God can use us to make deposits of hope, peace, joy, and refreshing in the atmosphere. Bring it about a change in somebody's life, in the atmosphere of somebody's day. Philippians 2:13 says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure." We must first get our mindset adjusted by following Philippians 4:8, which reads, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things."
Hallelujah.
Verse 9 says, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." If we don't embody peace, we can't change the atmosphere around us. Without peace, we sometimes add to the turmoil. When we think on those things that are lovely and of good rapport, our attitude changes and it lifts us to another level. The joy and the gratitude on the inside of you flows out of your belly. It flows out of your being and it blesses someone else that may be in your presence. If you're on the phone, it flows through the airways. If you're in the car listening to praise music, worshiping God, people glance at you and they sense the difference. Sometimes when they pass you, or when you're at the stoplight, you find them staring at you. We had some people staring at us one time, one night. We were on the way to Bible study years ago. I looked over to the right and I saw these people. And I said, "No, I didn't see what I saw." It was like about six people in there and they were witches. They were all in black. They had the witches' hats on. I'm like, "Hurry up and pass these people, please." Rick was driving. Finally, I said, "Did you see what I saw?" He said, "Mm-hmm." That's not what we want to see. Just your presence, if you're in the right frame of mind, can heal hearts, can bring peace, can resolve conflict. It can change people's focus. Your presence can strengthen people. It can restore trust and faith in mankind if you purpose to show the love of Christ in your heart. Just try a little kindness. I kept saying, "Get out of my head, try a little tenderness." A song kept coming. I'm like, "That's not the song I'm talking about." Just try a little kindness and you'll see what a difference it makes. If we are truly born again Christians, kindness should come very naturally. Romans 12:10 says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another." Kindness should come naturally because we're made in the image of God. God is love. He's grace. He's goodness. He's peace and everything good rolled up into one. In Genesis 1:27, when God created man in his own image, we're not talking about that physical likeness because we know God is a spirit. But rather, we as humans are identified with God's moral, spiritual, and intellectual nature. We're not talking of human perfection. We're just talking about human decency and respect, which goes a long way in changing the atmosphere that we live in. God will use you just to walk by a person you don't know, and they may stop dead in their tracks looking puzzled and say, "Don't I know you? There's something different about you." This leads to an opportunity to perhaps encourage someone. It's the presence of God's Spirit on you that makes the difference. We all know that our dear Pastor Ann walked in that presence and carried it all over the state, all out of the country and everywhere. People would look in her face, stop in their tracks, fall in her arms, and sometimes start crying. This would happen many times even before she could say, "Praise the Lord." She truly carried the presence of God. It was the power of her presence that made a difference in hundreds of lives here on this earth. Hebrew 13:12 says, "Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Our problem with our inability to carry that presence, making a difference on this earth, can possibly be found in James 3:9, which reads, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and we curse human beings who have been made in God's image and his likeness." Prime example, I was looking at the Grammys the other night, last Sunday, I think it was. Of course, I was sleeping in between. I slept probably about 95% of it. Wake up drooling, wake up looking for something to eat, go back to sleep. But anyway, a young lady, whose name I will not mention, got up to receive her award. She was so excited, overjoyed. In her speech, she addressed the audience, gave some accolades to some of the recipients, told them how blessed they were, and went on to spew out some four-letter words, which they bleeped at the end of her speech. How sad, how disrespectful and disgraceful to put our Father's name in the same manner of content with profanity. There you have it. Blessings and curses cannot come out of the same mouth. I was listening to a pastor on TV one day, and he was ministering some years ago about a man who had attended his church service. The man was deeply depressed. He was a loner, possibly. The man had made up in his mind that this would be the last service that he would attend at his service. After the service, he got in his car to leave and was waiting for the car in the row in front of him to back out so that he could pull out of his parking space. In that car was a little girl in the back seat on her knees in the window, just waving and smiling at him. Prior to that, his decision was to go home and end his life. At that very instant, his atmosphere changed by the love that radiated from that little girl's heart. Church, it does not take very much. You could, by your actions, be on the other end of saving someone's life from harming themselves. Choose forgiveness and acceptance instead of frowns, anger, and rolling your eyes. Keep a peaceful countenance. Smile. It won't hurt you even if you're not feeling that good. Refuse to let the enemy take away your opportunity to cause a shift in the atmosphere of somebody's life. Let God use you to bring life, to give someone hope. Stop hating on people that you don't even know. The word says, whatsoever you sow, you reap. And that's true. Take a little time out of your day to reach out and encourage somebody. God wants us to be the ones to carry his peace and his love and his joy so that we can change the atmosphere in somebody's life. We claim to be made in God's image. Therefore, we need to start acting like it. Compliment instead of criticize. Try to see the value in everybody. My elders would say to us, there's good in the worst of us and bad in the best of us. Amen. And that's true. Nobody's perfect in here. Amen. Not all of us, in a way. Have you taken note of how it is that people tend to flock to certain people in crowds? It's because there are people that it feels good to be around. It's that power of God that they carry in their presence. I'll use an example of one such person that we have here in our midst. Of course, I'll just pick on that person, but there are many of us that God uses to bless people. Today, it's going to be Deacon Purnell. On any given Sunday after church, people flock over to him like birds hunting for food. They try to be in his presence because he's accepting of everyone. He greets you with a big old smile. He's silly, too. Never negative. He's warm and very encouraging to everybody. People desire to fellowship with people that accept them for who they are. Bottom line is the power of the presence of God on him that he exudes no matter how he feels or what's going on in his life. If you never smile, never have a kind word for anybody, you'll never change the atmosphere for good. The right attitude blesses, and it brings blessings to you as well. The right attitude is a calm, clear, open, receptive, cautiously aware state of mind. It's a mindful attitude. mindful of your demeanor, how you present yourself. It's being aware by paying attention to what's going on around you as it's happening without getting all carried away and by our judgments or our opinions. You know, we're quick to come out with that stuff. I knew that was going to happen, or I knew she was going to do this, or wah, 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 wah. It's an awareness that makes you or allows you to see that Jane Doe might just need a hug or some encouragement today. We need to ask God to radiate love for people through us. If we're made in God's image and the Word says that we are, we should be full of the fruit of the Spirit, which is according to Galatians 5:22, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If we have been filled with the fruit and we show proof of the Spirit, we will absolutely be a blessing to somebody. You will see people delivered from sickness, depression, sadness. Peter's shadow healed the sick as he passed by. Your presence can calm people's hearts. You've heard people say to you, I just needed to hear your voice, or I just needed to see you. I feel so much better now. We need one another. If we don't deposit something in the lives of people who need you, when you get down, who are you going to have to pull you through? You're not relating to anybody. You're rolling your eyes at everybody. You're not talking. I mean, well, who are you going to call on? Better know Jesus. God needs us, and He wants to empower our presence to be able to make a change for the good in the lives of the people that we share this earth with. God may direct you to someone behind you in the grocery line and tell you to let them get in front of you since your basket is full and they only have a few items. Could be an elderly person, somebody that's mobily challenged, or just out of common courtesy. Amen. These are just things that represent the God that we serve and that we should identify with. I know there are some of us, or many of us in here, that do these things on a daily basis, but there should be more of us representing the God that's making somebody's day. There was a man in the line in front of me. I was in the Walmart. He wasn't in front of me, actually, in front only because there was a lady in front of me, and then there was this man paying for his groceries. Looked kind of sad and just kind of withdrawn, and he just kept looking a little, had some anxiety going on. He got up there and she rang all of his groceries, and he went through his wallet. He didn't have enough to pay for all the groceries. So he started taking stuff out. The lady behind him said, don't do that. She said, I've got you. The funny thing was, the only thing she didn't pay for was two dish rags that he had. But she paid his bill, and, you know, that made that man's day. I mean, that just cheered him up. Sometimes we find ourselves consumed with our own agendas, caught up in self. Just need to take the time to hear from God. Find out what God's agenda is for us today. Find out how He wants to use us to change the atmosphere in which we live. When we find it in our hearts to be open to kindness, to share, to encourage, we don't lose, we win. I remember Mama Scott sharing about a man behind her picking up the tab for her entire grocery bill. She didn't know him, he didn't know her. She carried the presence with her smiles, her praise the Lord, and general greetings to people. I know that on several occasions, Pastor Tony has shared how people have blessed him by paying for his purchases. He didn't know them, they didn't know him, but God knew him, and that on so many occasions, he has sown into the lives of so many other people, making a change in the atmosphere, representing God's presence. Many of us hold too tightly to our finances. We hold too tightly with our positive greetings. We hold too tightly with our compliments of individuals. Now, let me get the door for you. We are talking about representing change in the atmosphere of the day for somebody that God wants to show love to. We are supposed to be God's hand and His heart. We bring life to others when we generate the power of God's presence in lives. A couple picked up a tab for us. We were at a restaurant One night we had gone to do a takeout for a bunch of pigs. I can talk about my own churn, okay? So we were sitting there, you know, it's like they don't say anything until we said, well, we're going over to such and such to pick up some food. Well, I want, let me see a menu. And so we were sitting there and just waiting for our order we had called for takeout. A couple came in front of us. And the waitress said, is it okay that we go ahead and take care of them first? I said, yeah, going on. We had nothing to do. And she said, I'll be right back. So when she came out with our order, she said, the order is free. And I'm like, beg your pardon? She said, no, that man just picked up your whole tab for $100 and some. The power, I mean, we were speechless. I said, I can go shopping tomorrow. The power of God's presence that you carry, that you embody, makes a difference in our lives. We are an extension of God, so we should be doing the same things that Jesus did. He was a blessing everywhere he went. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 9 again. I think we talked about it before. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, put them into practice. And the God of peace shall be with you. The Amplified Version of the Bible says, practice in daily life those things. Now, the things received, learned, seen, and heard from Jesus can't be put into practice if we don't read the Word. We won't know what to practice daily. Romans 12:18 says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, as best that you can, live peaceably with all men. You'll sleep better, you'll have a better outlook on life, you'll feel better, and your heart will be lighter. Hallelujah. Ultimately, you will be harnessing the power of God's presence that enables you to make a difference in the atmosphere of somebody's life. Take the time on occasion to greet or to hold a conversation with someone in your fellowship that you don't normally talk to. God may give you words of encouragement for them that will make their day. Change their situation, give hope, and lift their spirits. In Romans 12:13, it reads, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. The scripture references giving to the needs of the saints, supporting Christians in need. Quite often, the needs of the saints are not merely food or money or material things. It may be the need to show someone that they are loved, that they are appreciated and valued. Amen. Pastor Rick ministered last Sunday on our joy is short-lived when we acquire things we thought would make us happy, things we've coveted that we just had to have. Shortly after they're purchased or obtained, the thrill is gone. They end up tossed aside. Their attraction has left the building just like Elvis did. Material possessions have no long-term value in holding your attention. I think I said one time before I was in the store and I saw this handbag, and I just needed that handbag. And usually I always ask the Lord, you know, can I have this or can I buy that? And most of the time he said no. But this particular time I said, I'm not going to ask you because I'm going to buy this bag. Got that bag and got home. Took it one time, and you know, it was a big bag, nice bag. The top of it just kept flopping. I mean, it was the worst thing. I said, I hate you. I want my money back. I mean, every time I looked at it, I got mad. See, that would happen when you don't ask God about stuff. It just won't stay, but it wasn't strong. You know, you want the bag to stand up and be nice, so big old bag, and all it would do was flop. I stuck a newspaper all through it. It still kept flopping. And I know God was just laughing. You didn't ask me, did you? The position of joy, everlasting peace, and hope can only be maintained by the Jesus of your soul and your heart. Things lose their luster, their drawing power, and we know where they end up. Throwing in a closet, like I did that pocketbook, in the Goodwill store, the trash, or the attic. I remember when Antoine was about 4 years old, one Christmas he kept telling us that he wanted this truck, a Vepco truck with a pole. That had a pole. And that was because he was looking out the window and the Vepco truck was out there, the lights was out or something crazy. So, you know, Rick and I thought we did a good thing by honoring that request. got a big old red fire truck, fire engine with a ladder. I said, you know, Vepco trucks out here, this should work. Man, that joke on Christmas morning, looked at that thing. He played with it for a while. Then he started hollering, "That's not what I want. I want the Vepco truck with the pole." Man, my nerves are so frazzled that I was ready to pick that boy up like you pick up a cat, right by the neck. Now, I'm going to tell you, the reason I would have done that, because if you got a child that locks you out of the house when you go to the mailbox and it's raining and you go to the front door and that joker said, "My mama told me don't let those strangers in here," I said, "You better open that door. My mama said don't let nobody in here I don't know." Just a laughing. You see what I mean by picking them up like they can't? I ran to the back door. He did the same thing. And when that joker saw that look on my face, that sucker opened that door and ran. Because he knew he was going to get it. My head getting wet too. Now you see my point about the cat. Yes, people need material things. They need finances. But far more important than things, they need not to feel inferior, written off, unworthy, unimportant. That's where we, as the body of Christ, come in to change the negative, stale atmosphere around that person. We have the power and the ability to change somebody's day, their perception of people, their thought pattern about life. God will anoint your presence to make a change in somebody's view of life. You can turn a negative day into a positive one just by coming on the scene. Again, if we walk in the spirit and not in the flesh, we would accomplish so much more for the kingdom of God. Walking in the spirit changes the atmosphere around you. It nullifies your fleeting thoughts or ideas of what somebody needs or don't need. It replaces your decision to speak or not speak, to greet or not greet, to smile or not smile. You will automatically do what the Holy Spirit is leading you to do. You will speak, you will greet, you will smile, and you may flip the atmosphere to a positive one in somebody else's life. Matthew 5:13 says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how can it be salty again? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out, thrown away, and trampled under the foot of men." Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father which is in heaven." God is using the salt and the light as a metaphor or comparison. He is comparing us to the items that flavor, the items that bring life and brightness. We are called to season the atmosphere, make people thirsty to know God. Amen. We are to season the atmosphere with love and peace. We are to bring light to brighten the path for people who are in the dark. Our light should dispel the darkness. If we have no seasoning power, no light to share, then we are referenced, according to the word, as having nothing of value in this life. Salt seasons, it preserves, it flavors. Light brightens, it gives direction, it shows the way. As God's agents, we carry elements that change the atmosphere. If you don't remember anything else, I bet you remember the words "change the atmosphere." In closing, I'm going to leave you with a far-fetched analogy, something to think about. In Acts 7:59-60, "And they stoned Stephen. Stephen calling upon God and saying, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.'" Verse 60, "And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, 'Lay not this sin to their charge.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Acts 6:15 says, "And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as if it had been the face of an angel." Now let me drop a bomb. I told you that this would be a far-fetched comparison, okay? Now if Stephen was being stoned and presented no anger, no scowl, no hostility, no negative attitudes, had the face of an angel, and we know that's the presence of light and peace, we should be able to show the light and the love and the presence of Christ. at least when we're in public. Okay, think about this. You've had your egg McMuffin, your coffee, you've taken your blood pressure pills, you get to the job safely, driving your nice, clean, comfortable car, heated seats, all gassed up. You're wearing your Skechers. Office rules now are relaxed. The attire can be business casual. So your feet feeling good, they're not hurting because you're not wearing those stilettos, right? Your coworkers greet you with a good morning, and you either verbalize or you're thinking, what's so good about it? You're in a bad mood because maybe you broke a nail. There was an accident on the highway and the lanes were all backed up. Bottom line, you weren't a part of the accident, but you got your bad attitude working. You know what they're thinking. Boy, did she get up on the wrong side of the bed. Must have had nails for breakfast. You have missed another opportunity to represent God, perhaps by smiling or giving a compliment. You could have brightened that person's day. That person perhaps may have been up all night long with a sick child or a crying baby. Perhaps they had to contain with a nagging spouse. I don't have that problem, right? You know how to pick that kid up? Check it. They had to contain with a nagging spouse, or maybe they didn't know if they were going to make it to work because they didn't have enough gas in the car. They're waiting to get that next paycheck. You, on the other hand, had it all together, except that attitude which darkened an already dark atmosphere for them. Saints, we've got to get it together, allowing God to use us to change the atmosphere around us, bringing hope, light, love. God bless you, every one of you. I love you so much.